Hello, everybody. How are you? It's Christmas time. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, one and all.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Or season's greetings, Craigs. Let's be politically correct as well.
Yes, whatever your religion, your religion, whoever your God may be, we hope you have a lovely festive season with your families.
We can say festive greetings or season's greetings.
Season's greetings to one and all. Celebrations, champagne, cover, traditional English, Christmas food, Christmas pudding, turkey, mince pies, all the trimmings.
Trimmings? Oh, you better explain that one, Craig.
Con todas las guarniciones.
Ah,
trimmings, guarniciones.
Chapeau. Good word.
I prepared. I did my homework. I did my homework for this episode.
Craig, what are your plans for Christmas?
Well, if everything is well, if everything goes according to plan, I'm going to Burma.
Burma. Is it Myanmar? Myanmar? How is that pronounced?
Myanmar.
Myanmar. M-Y-A-N-M-A-R.
Yeah. It's an interesting country that hasn't really opened to tourism properly yet. So I'm very excited about going to see Burma over Christmas.
It would have been very difficult even to get a visa to go a few years back, wouldn't it?
Yes, and even now, it's kind of like Vietnam was years ago, where you can't really travel freely. You have to go with a tour guide, an organized tour. They don't restrict where you go exactly, but they do want to know that you're going with a tour group, and they want to know more or less where you're going. So it's opening up, but it's not completely open yet.
Will they be celebrating Christmas in Myanmar or Burma?
That's a good question. They are mostly Buddhists, so I would say no.
Mm-hmm. I see. Will you be there on Christmas Day? That's the 25th of December.
Yes, we will. We'll be in Rangoon, the capital of Burma. So we'll be celebrating Christmas in Rangoon. What are you doing for Christmas?
I'm going to visit my mom and my brothers and sisters in Ireland.
In Belfast?
Indeed, yes. And I guess we'll do what we normally do. We'll meet for Christmas lunch on the 25th. We'll have turkey with all the trimmings, of course, all the trimmings. Roast potatoes, Brussels sprouts. Oh, Brussels sprouts. Stop. What's that? Brussels sprouts.
How do you say that in Spanish?
Coles de Bruselas.
Oh,
yes. I've done my homework too. Coles de Bruselas. Yes, that's a typical trimming, an extra that we eat a lot of at Christmas. I don't know why. Don't ask me why, but we do in Britain and Ireland. Brussels sprouts, roast potatoes, stuffing, relleno, which you put inside the bird, or you can cook it separately.
Tell me something. Who does the cooking? Will your mum be cooking Christmas dinner, or will be doing it?
No, my mum always. To be honest, I wouldn't know how to prepare a Christmas turkey. I really wouldn't know. I help with the stuffing. Mm-hmm. But she does the majority of
the work. Well, she's a very good cook, your mum, so I'm sure it's going to be lovely.
What do you think you'll have in Burma on Christmas Day?
I have no idea.
Noodles, rice?
I think like that? We're pretty safe that it will be noodles or rice for us on Christmas Day. But I'll tell you, when we get back, I'll tell you what we had on Christmas Day. Anyway, welcome to the podcast.
What episode is this, Craig?
This is episode 39.
I got all confused with the Christmas spirit.
Episode 39, and next episode, episode 40, will be our New Year's podcast.
So our first of 2015?
The first of 2015. Wow. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, contactar con nosotros, you can leave us a voice message on the homepage at inglespodcast.com. Just click the orange button with the microphone and leave your message, which please should be no longer than 90 seconds because it's the free service, so we're limited to a minute and a half. And if you leave us a message, why not give us a Because of My English story? Tell us how English has benefited you in your work, in your social life, by traveling. How has English made your life better? I could say that because of my Spanish, for example, I've made some really good friends here in Spain. Interestingly, some of my Spanish friends are ex-students, And if they're married or they have girlfriends, I tend to speak Spanish when I socialize with them. So although English was our first like language of contact, now when I see my ex-students socially, it's probably more conversation in Spanish. So because of my Spanish, I've made some really, really good friends here in Valencia.
If some of the listeners were to travel, for example, imagine one of you were to go to Burma. I imagine you can't speak Burmese. Not many people outside Burma can. You're going to have to communicate in English. You could say, because of my English, I was able to travel around Burma. Without English, I don't think you'll get very far.
English is a world language, so study hard, keep listening to these podcasts, and keep taking your English to the next level. Another piece of news, which we did mention last episode, we now have a sponsors page on our website. So if you're interested in sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, have a look at our sponsor page and please send me an email at craig@inglespodcast.com. And if you want to sign up for our email list on the same page, inglespodcast.com, you'll see the sign up form on the homepage.
And it's completely free.
And it's completely free. We'll send you an email every month with a summary of all of the podcasts we've released that month. And you can also study free at mansioningles.com. Reza, listener feedback and questions. We have three or four comments from listeners, so let's start with those. A question from Evelina through our Facebook page. Says, creo que hay una falta en el curso gratis de la mención del inglés.
Surely not. No.
Well, let's see. It's possible at mansioningles.com. Es en el curso básico. And Evelina says, a conocer gente por la primera vez debería decir, these are Manoli and Luis, en vez de, this is Manoli and Luis. Now, I can understand why Evelina thinks this. Mm-hmm. She says, ¿por qué hablamos de plural? ¿Estoy en lo cierto? Gracias. What do you think?
For me, they're both right. You can say, these are Manoli and Luis, and this is Manoli and Luis. But I would say this is more common, in fact.
Well, if you introduce people, if you're introducing like a couple, wouldn't it be more natural to say this is?
Yeah.
As a couple, this is? You would say, these are my friends.
Exactly.
Manoli and Luis. But this is Manoli, this is Luis, or this is Manoli and Luis.
Yeah, particularly if they've come as a group or as a couple, as you say. So it's like it's one thing, it's a group. So this is Manoli and Luis, a couple.
I don't think I would introduce two people as these are Pete and Simon, for example.
No. Yes.
I wouldn't do that. I'd say this is.
It's much more common. I agree. Although it's not wrong to say these are Manoli, Luis, and whoever else you like. It's not wrong, but this is much more common.
I agree. So for when you're presenting somebody, introducing people, this is Reza, this is Craig, or this is Manoli and Luis.
Can I add something to this? Evelina, although you haven't asked it, it's a related question. Quite often people ask this question at the same time. It for a person. Now, one of the very first things you learn in English is I, you, he, she, they're people. But it is for a thing. Well, there are exceptions to that too. Oh, there's someone at the door.
Who's there?
It's me, Reza.
It's Reza.
It for a person. When someone is speaking to you on the phone or they're at your door and you're asking, who is it? It's plus a person.
Yeah, because in Spanish you'd say soy, wouldn't you? You'd say soy Craig, but you wouldn't translate that to I am Craig.
You don't say I am Reza.
You'd say it's.
When I come to your door, I say it's Reza.
And on the telephone, if you phone somebody, you'd probably say this is. Hello, this is Craig here. Can I speak to Reza? Another comment from Yolanda. Yolanda lives in Vinaros, which is beautiful, north of Valencia. Yolanda says, hi. First of all, congratulations for your podcast and thanks a lot for helping us. You both are really a perfect team.
Thank you, Yolanda. Yolanda, yes. Could you do us a favor? If you have any good recipes for any seafood from Vina Ross, could you send it to us? Because Vina Ross is famous throughout Spain for its very high quality seafood.
I don't think I've ever been there.
Gambas y cosas así, the Vina Ross. Prawns from Vina Ross are famous there. Delicious.
You've been there, have you?
Yes. You eat very good in Vina Ross. Mm. Very good food.
Well, Yolanda says, I'd like to know if get, G-E-T, which in, well, she says oral language, but probably better to say spoken language or spoken English. The word get in spoken English is used in lots of expressions. Yeah. In Spanish, comodín, which we'd say it's an all-purpose word. It's used in many different cases. Because you say get home, get better, get tickets, etc. So Yolanda says, can we use it in the same way in written language, or in which cases it had to be used?
In which cases should it be used? Should.
Yeah, we spoke about that in the last episode. In which cases should it be used? I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that get has the most entries in a dictionary. It is the most common word in a dictionary.
I'm not sure. You might well be right, Craig, but I would say it's between get and set. Set's another really common one.
Yep, that's true.
Get or set?
Now get can have different uses. For example, it could mean become. In get better, for example. Yep. I'm getting better. I'm becoming better.
Get drunk.
Get drunk to become drunk, absolutely. It could mean catch in respect of the bus or the train, to get the bus or get the train or get a plane.
Or catch a cold, get a cold. Respiratory.
Yes, that would be to become ill or become sick with something, to get the flu, for example. What about to arrive at or reach?
What time does the train get to Vina Ross, for example?
What time do you get to work? Get home, get to the airport, arrive at.
Arrive at. Yes, that's a good point. Get plus two equals arrive plus at.
Yeah.
Different prepositions. But not arrive to. A classic Spanish mistake. Arrive plus at or in, but not to. When would you say arrive in? For me, arrive in is a city or a country, possibly.
It's the feeling of estar dentro. It's the feeling of being inside the city. Because if you're flying to Los Angeles and a plane stops in New York for half an hour and you stay on the plane, you don't have the feeling of being in the city of New York. So I would say, I'll phone you at New York. Because I'm passing through, so I don't have the feeling of being inside the city. That's how I'd explain it.
But we won't meet until you arrive in Los Angeles.
In the city of Los Angeles.
So arrive in, or more commonly, at.
Exactly.
Not to. However, it's get to. Big mistake. Very common.
And I think in Yolanda's question, she also asked when to use it, maybe in written English. And I think get is used in written English, but I think it tends to be more informal.
Yeah.
For example, arrive at would be a little more formal than get to. Another meaning would be receive. What did you get for Christmas?
A very important question. Yeah. Now, there's a bit of confusion here because get, as Yolanda says, has so many meanings that get can mean receive, but get can also mean to buy.
Yes, you can get a new mobile phone.
Exactly.
Get some shopping.
Be very careful at Christmas, because imagine a conversation between John and Sally, okay? John says to Sally, Sally, what do you want me to get you for Christmas? Aha. That means, what do you want me to buy you for Christmas?
Exactly. Not what do you want to get for Christmas.
What do you want me to buy you? And then Christmas happens, and then Sally says, oh, I got many things for Christmas.
What did you get?
I got a book, I got a laptop, I got household objects. I received. Mm-hmm. So get can be to buy, but it can also be to receive.
Absolutely. And of course, another use is the causative, because you get something done in the same way that you have something done. So you can say, I don't cut my hair myself, I have my hair cut. You can also say, get my hair cut.
Which would you say is more informal, have your hair cut or get your hair cut?
More informal, I'd say get. In spoken English, for example, and this is true, tomorrow I'm getting my hair cut. I made an appointment this morning, so tomorrow I'm getting it cut. I would say that more in spoken English than having it cut. Get your car serviced. I get my car serviced once a year. It means I have my car serviced. Somebody services it for me.
Another very important one, to get married.
Get married, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or get divorced.
Or get divorced, sadly, afterwards, yeah. So, you well, can say to marry, but it's much more common to say to get married, isn't it?
Yeah. And you, and an interesting preposition point is that you marry someone, but you get married to someone, which can be confusing. And there are, of course, many phrasal verbs and expressions with get that kind of stand alone, that they're separate. So you get over, for example, to recover from, get over a cold, get over a disease.
Or get over bad news. I got over my divorce.
Get over a bad relationship, recover from. You can get by with a little French, or get by on €1,000 a month, to manage, get in touch, mm-hmm. get rid of.
What does get rid of mean?
Throw away, deshacerse, uh-huh. get rid of this old jumper, mm-hmm. get rid of this old sweater. Get the chance, get the opportunity to do something, get ready, prepararse. Get paid at the end of the month, to receive a salary is to get paid. Mm-hmm. So many, many different uses.
Get arrested.
Of get. Get arrested.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, I don't think a Spanish speaker would ever guess that. You would never guess that it's get arrested.
No, no.
I've got arrested.
The best approach, I think, the best way is to learn these expressions and phrasal verbs separately, mm-hmm. and make a list. Make a list mm-hmm. of expressions and phrasal verbs using mm-hmm. get. And learn them. Yeah. Write the Spanish translation.
If you're going to write it in your notebook, allow yourself about 20 pages for get. It's going to take up a lot of space.
You should get a dictionary and have a look at how many entries, how many different ways you can use get.
Ask someone to get you a dictionary for Christmas if you haven't got one already.
Yolanda asks something else. She asks us to clarify the expression near to or near from. She says, what is the correct expression? Near to or near from? Well, when I have a question like this, I like to put both in Google and search both expressions with inverted commas. So I put the expression near to in inverted commas, and that gives me an idea of the most used collocation mm-hmm. in written English. Because remember, when you're searching Google, it's all text. You're not actually searching any spoken English. So for near to in Google, I got over 60 million results, nearly 61 million results. For example, it's near to my house, or the project is near to completion. Near from, only 455,000. So near from is probably not commonly used. I think it goes better with far from. So near to my house or far from my house. What do you think, Reza?
I would go further and say near from is wrong, full stop.
Okay.
Es incorrecto y punto.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of silly people using internet out there. You true. Might have had 500,000 hits, but for me, I can't think of a native speaker ever saying near from.
No, me neither. Me neither.
Near to, I believe, is correct, but the word to could be left out. You could just say near and it would still be all right. But near from, I would consider just wrong.
Yeah, you could say it's near my house. It's not necessary to say it's near to my house. You could say the project is near completion. It's not necessary to say near to completion.
For me, near from, though, is just wrong. There's no debate.
I agree with you 100%. Another question. Is the meaning of remind, recordar, related to a person? And remember refers to facts?
No, I don't think so.
It's not, is it?
No. Remind, I would say, is... Remind is to make someone remember.
For example, remind me that I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Recuérdame que mañana tengo una cita con el médico.
In other words, make me remember.
Remind
by saying, hey,
me.
Craig, don't forget about the doctors. I'm making you remember. Whereas remember is just involves one person one group.
And remind
people.
Has that pronoun, doesn't it? Remind me, remind him, remind us, remind yep. her.
Exactly.
And remember, acordarse. For example, I remember the day you were born. Me acuerdo del día en que naciste.
Mm-hmm. So in Spanish, if you want the quick version, remind, recordar. Whereas remember is reflexive, so acordarse.
One more question from Yolanda. How can I say... Como I told you yesterday. Is this como as or like? So the question is it as I told you yesterday or like I told you yesterday? It was both, isn't it?
I would accept both. Yeah. Which one's more formal? Which one's more informal in your opinion?
As would be more formal and yep. like would be more informal. Like I told you yesterday, I'll meet you tomorrow. Or as I said before, yeah. So both are possible. Like more informal, I think.
However, if you read some grammar books, they might tell you that it's better to use as because it's followed by a clause, followed by a subject verb, as I told you. I told, subject verb. I've read grammar books that say you should use as plus a subject verb in a little bit of clause. And if not, like, for example, like me, there's no subject verb. Or like the other day. But as I told you. However, in modern English, this distinction's getting lost.
And if you want more information on clauses and subjects and verbs and sentences and phrases, yeah. you can go back and listen to episodes 37 and 38. But I will put the links in the show notes to the episodes in which Reza and I spoke about clauses, etc. Finally, Yolanda says, I have to recognize, but I think that another common mistake, I think she means I have to admit. Uh-huh. Reconocer. I have to admit. She says, I have to improve my writing and overall listening and speaking. But as I said on the top.
At the beginning
or before, as I said before. I have to congratulate both you and David Palencia with his podcasts, which helped me a lot. And she's speaking about an interview I did with David Palencia García, or I think it's David García Palencia, I can never remember, from daweingles.com. Yolanda says, I need to pass B1 level in the next 2 weeks, and there are some pages to chat and write which are very useful for learners. I agree. David's website at daweingles.com is an excellent resource, and if you want to listen to my conversation with David, you can find it at daweingles.com and also in Mansion Interviews at inglespodcast.com. Yolanda finishes, by the way, Craig, I live near you in Vinaros, 160 kilometers north of Valencia City. Best wishes, hear from you soon. Yolanda. Thank you, Yolanda. Lovely questions, and I hope we've helped you with some of our answers.
Yes. Merry Christmas, Yolanda, and enjoy those prawns from Vinaros. Que disfrutes de las gambas de Vinaros.
Chupar la cabeza de la gamba. Oh, oh, oh. The next question is from Sonia Ruiz Navarro, and the subject is There Seems to Be and There Is. Sonia says, good morning, Reza and Craig. I don't know whether you have ever explained this topic because I'm not a veteran listener. Maybe better a long-time listener. I'm not a long-time listener. But I would like you to do it if not done yet. I would say if you haven't done so yet. The matter is, I don't know how to analyze grammatically this expression. There seems to be. I mean, is it an existential there, broken somehow by the verb to seem? Is it an expression having nothing to do with the existential there? Is it used in the same way as there is, there are? I mean, singular, there seems, plural, there seem? There seems to be one person waiting for you outside, or there seem to be three people waiting for you outside. And a further question, she says, is it always used with to be, or could I use a different verb, like there seems to take a long time from Córdoba to Valencia? Would that be okay? And finally, is there any difference with the normal verb to seem? It seems there are three people waiting for you outside. As you can see, I'm not sure all about how to use such expressions, so I would appreciate your help so much. Thank you, regards, Sonia. Well, that's a lot in there, isn't it? The verb to seem and seems to be. Any thoughts, Reza?
Yes. The first half of what Sonia said, I would say yes to. And the second half, a bit more complicated. She says, is it the existential there, just to show that something exists? Yes. With seem added. Instead of saying there is, if you say there seems plus infinitive to be, there seems to be, then the word seem merely shows that it's not a certain fact, but it appears, it seems.
Parece.
Parecer, yes. Parecer. So seem is parecer. So yes, it's just adding the verb seem to show that it's uncertain, that it is an impression, but you don't know for sure, with the verb there is or there are. That's what it is.
I must admit, tengo que reconocer, admit, I must admit that I'd never heard of this existential there before. What's that?
Well, I've heard some people talk about it. It just means to say that things exist.
Okay.
There is a God, or there isn't a God, depending on your belief. He exists or he doesn't. In my room, there is a bed. Okay. It exists.
So there seems.
Don't worry. We're not. It's nothing to do with French philosophers or anything like that. It just means it exists. Okay. And yes, also, Sonia, it's treated singular or plural, as you said. There seems to be one person waiting. There seem to be three people waiting. So there seems to be one person because it's with one person, third person singular. But there seem to be no third person singular S, correct? You asked, is it always with the verb to be? I would say yes, with one exception. With one exception, which is not common. Generally, there seems plus the verb to be. Or there appears to be, which means the same. Except, what about this? There seems to occur a strange thing once a year at Christmas. People are nice to each other. There seems to occur. Ocurrir. There seems to occur. Not the verb to be. Now, that sentence is grammatically correct, but it's not very common.
No, it sounds a little bit. It sounds strange to me.
A bit archaic, a bit old-fashioned. Oh, yes, I'll grant you. But and very formal. But it is correct. There seems to occur a strange thing once a year. But it's kind of quite literary, isn't it? Quite literary,
poetic.
Quite poetic, dramatic way of saying things.
It's not the normal way. No, there seems a lot more common. Do you agree that seem is followed by adjectives, not adverbs? He seems angry, she looks sad, she seems sad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, follow. So you can have instead of the infinitive to be, or occasionally in this formal construction other verbs, you can have just an adjective. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be the infinitive with to be. It could be any infinitive. I think Reza likes biscuits. It seems that he likes biscuits.
Ah, but yeah.
No, wait. He seems to like biscuits.
Yes, but that you, yeah, but you got ahead of me there.
Sorry.
But we didn't get that. So far, we've been talking about there is, there are.
I'm jumping ahead.
You see, there is, there are. For example, there is a lot of trouble. There seems to be a lot of trouble with there. It's completely different if you take away there is, there are.
Okay.
That's different.
I'm jumping ahead.
That's different. If you just use the verb seem, without there is, there are. You can do whatever you like with it.
Mm-hmm.
Reza seems to be happy. Reza seems to eat a lot. Reza seems to sleep all day.
So seem is like appear and look, isn't
yeah.
it?
Because and it can go with any verb in the infinitive.
Right, yeah.
Appear. But not, Sonia was asking specifically about there seems. And there goes with to be, as you know, there is, there are. And if you put seem in the middle, it still goes with the verb to be, except with that formal and archaic exception I told you about, there seems to occur a strange event. Once a year, people are nice to each other at Christmas. But as Craig rightly said, it's unusual. It's not common in modern English. It's very poetic. It's very literary. So generally, there seems is the same as there is with the verb to be.
Okay.
As Craig also says, with seem, you don't have to have any infinitive verb. You can have it seems good, just an adjective. Or Reza seems crazy at times.
Or it seems that Sonia is excited about our podcast.
Aha, so have it with a clause.
With a clause.
It seems that plus a subject and verb.
Sonia seems to be excited about our podcasts. Or mm-hmm. Sonia seems excited with just the adjective.
Exactly. And it seems can be substituted by appears. They're synonyms. Yes, seem and appear, as you pointed out earlier, Craig, are in that group of verbs which go with adjectives,
or
not adverbs.
And look as well.
And look mm-hmm. and to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we teach our students that if you wanted to describe a verb, you generally use an adverb. He runs. How does he run? Quickly. He sleeps. How does he sleep? Soundly.
He speaks. How does he speak? He speaks well.
Okay, but there are some verbs, the verb to be, the verb seem, appear, look, and a few others, feel, which go with adjectives. But that's a topic for another day, I believe.
Yes. So, parecer in Spanish. She seems tired, for example, but I'm not sure. Ella parece cansada, pero no estoy seguro. Seem, another example, he seems angry, or she looks sad. Reza appears to be in a good mood this morning. You're always in a good mood. You always seem to be in a good mood.
Oh,
what's the secret?
I seem to be. Seem to be,
but you're not. You're a good actor.
Yeah.
Reza, because it's Christmas, I thought we could speak a little about Christmas. I have some questions for you. Are you up for it?
I'm up for it.
You're up for it. What do you usually do on Christmas Day when you go to Belfast? You've said that you eat a traditional Christmas dinner with all the trimmings, your turkey, stuffing, your roast potatoes and Brussels sprouts. But what's a typical day for the Reza family like in Belfast? What do you do?
At my mother's insistence, we will watch and listen to the Queen's speech.
Really?
Now, Craig, can you explain to the listeners what the Queen's speech is?
Oh, if I can remember. God, it's been years since I heard the Queen's speech in the UK. The Queen gives a speech to the nation and the Commonwealth. I think it's 3 o'clock p.m.
I think it is. Yep.
In the afternoon. So after you've had your turkey and your Christmas pudding and all the trimmings, you sit down, stuffed and full from all the food, and the Queen speaks to you from Buckingham Palace and speaks about love, peace, happiness and goodwill to everybody around the world. And she usually says more or less the same thing, doesn't she? It's very diplomatic. Yes. It's very formal. It's not controversial. No. She doesn't speak about politics. She speaks a little maybe about religion. But mainly being good to people and thinking of people who don't have what you have.
Spirituality in the wide sense, not specifically Christianity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any Queen speeches on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, of course, they're all there. Yeah. I've checked them out.
Have you really?
Yeah, to show students what it's about.
Oh, I thought for yourself.
I'm not a fan. No,
I thought for
no,
your own interest.
No. And it's strange that people should wait for it at, I think, as Craig said, 3 o'clock, because it's recorded apparently about a month before Christmas. It isn't live.
Yeah, but it's a tradition.
It's recorded, it's but people tradition. Wait till 3 o'clock to watch it.
Speaking of traditions, do you usually have a Christmas tree? Or did you have one when you were a child?
We do, usually. No, in fact, we always have one. And sometimes it's a real tree, and sometimes it's an artificial one.
What are you having this year?
Oh, it'll be artificial. A small one. And we put our presents, our gifts around it, as is the tradition. And on Christmas Day, usually before our meal, just before our meal, we open the presents.
Before your meal? Oh, yes. We used to open our presents in the morning. First, when we got up out of bed, first thing we did was open the presents in the morning.
Oh, well, we're all greedy in our house, so we have our breakfast first.
Do you have a
and then we open
do you have a full Irish breakfast Christmas morning?
No. A very, very small breakfast, but hoping that then the Christmas meal in the middle of the day is going to be huge.
Do you remember when you were a child, did you believe in Santa Claus? And if you did, do you remember the day when you discovered that Santa Claus doesn't actually deliver your presents?
I can't remember the exact day when I discovered that Santa Claus perhaps didn't exist. But I remember believing when I was a kid. And in fact, I seem to remember something which is impossible.
Seem to remember?
Yeah, I seem to remember actually seeing Santa Claus. Of course, I couldn't have. But I'm convinced...
It wasn't your dad, was it, dressed up in...
Well, it might have been. I'm convinced when I was a kid that in the middle of the night, on Christmas Eve, that's the 24th of December, I saw someone who, to me, was Father Christmas, Santa Claus, walking around the house. I guess it was my dad. Hmm. But, Craig, you've met my dad. He really doesn't look like Father Christmas.
No. In fact, that's something that I would have paid to see. Your father dressed up as Santa Claus.
Maybe he did it for a laugh, you know? Because my parents always told me that you mustn't wake up in the middle of the night. I guess it was a way to get me out of the way. They said, oh, you can't wake up until the morning of the 25th. Don't bother Santa Claus. So for me, it was very important. Oh, keep your eyes closed, sleep. But of course, I couldn't because I was so excited. I wanted to find out what was happening.
Do you know what my parents did to keep me in bed an extra hour or two so that I wouldn't wake them up at 6 o'clock or earlier Christmas morning? They always left me one present at the foot of my bed. So that when I woke up Christmas morning, I had one present to open. And of course, I opened my present, I played with it in my room, and I didn't disturb my parents who were sleeping in the room next door. Very clever.
Good idea.
There's a tip for any parents listening. Leave one present at the foot of your children's bed.
In your household, did you follow that tradition that some people do of leaving some milk and cookies for Father Christmas?
No, we didn't. We didn't.
Or
do
some
that.
People leave a brandy for him?
Because we had a dog, so the dog would probably have had the cookies before Santa.
Have you heard of this tradition?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Maybe it's more of an American thing. We didn't do it in our house, but I believe some people leave milk or brandy and some cookies for Father Christmas should he get a bit hungry on his travels delivering all the presents.
Speaking of strange and unusual customs in other countries, did you know that in India they don't have Christmas trees? Did you know that?
Not surprised, because there aren't that many Christians.
They use mango and banana trees, which they decorate for Christmas. Mango and banana.
Tastier.
In Japan, and this is strange, people go to KFC at Christmas. Kentucky Fried Chicken. They have special...
Kentucky Fried Christmas.
Kentucky Fried Christmas. They have special buckets of Christmas chicken. Christmas is not a national holiday in Japan, but it's a tradition. It has become a tradition to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken on Christmas Day to celebrate.
And instead of Father Christmas, do they have Colonel Sanders?
Dressed up as Santa. Who knows? Yeah. Finger looking good. In Mexico, in a place called, I'm sorry if I've mispronounced this, Oaxaca, in Mexico, they break plates to signify that the year is coming to an end. They break plates to show the end of the year. Christmas starts in Oaxaca with a parade of people walking down streets that have old lanterns, old lamps, and they knock on every door to reenact Mary and Joseph's search for shelter. So when Mary and Joseph were walking the streets looking for a place to sleep, they knocked on the doors of different houses, and then they break these plates near the cathedral to signify the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. I know that in Italy there's a tradition, and I think it still survives to this day, in which if you've been a bad boy or girl, an old woman, yes, a woman, not Father Christmas, comes and leaves you a lump of coal.
I've heard that. A lump of coal. That's Italy. I didn't know it was Italy. That's yes. In Italy, is it?
And still to this day, this woman is used as a threat, una amenaza. If you're not good, you're getting the lump of coal. That's it.
To make the children behave well. Mm-hmm. In Finland, people go to the cemetery. People go to the cemetery to pay their respects for the dead. Mm. They commemorate the dead on Christmas Day. And it's also typical in Finland for families to have porridge for lunch. Porridge would be...
Gachas.
Very good. I'm impressed. And they have an almond, una almendra, hidden inside the porridge. Ooh. And the person who finds the almond sings a song.
Wow, that's lovely.
That is, isn't it? Yeah, Finland.
That's lovely. Mm-hmm. I know in Poland there's quite a macabre, that's macabro, you know, related to death, a macabre tradition, but a nice one in a way. You set a place for dead people at the Christmas table to remember
really?
Them. Yes. You must set the full place. Set a place means the knives, the forks,
Pone
the
la mesa.
Etc. Yep, for dead people from the family who are no longer with you to remember them on Christmas Day.
I'll tell you something, Reza. I'm pleased I don't live in the Ukraine because I have a phobia. Spiders. I hate spiders. And in the Ukraine, the families hide a spider's web in the tree. And whoever finds the spider's web will have good luck. That would not be good luck for me. So I'm pleased I don't live in the Ukraine.
Now, Craig, the day after Christmas Day, the 26th of December, what would you normally call it?
Boxing Day.
Me too. But most people in the Republic of Ireland don't.
What do they call it?
They've heard of Boxing Day because, you know, Irish people know a lot about British culture. But it's more commonly, traditionally known there as St. Stephen's Day.
St. Stephen's Day.
Yes.
Right, yeah. The Feast of St. Stephen.
Yes, and that's what people in the Republic of Ireland know it as.
Interesting.
If that's the official name of that holiday. The 26th of December, which is always a holiday for British and Irish people.
That's right. In Caracas, in Venezuela, they close the roads on Christmas and people use roller skates to get to church.
Wow.
They roller skate through the streets in Caracas, in Venezuela. If you have different and interesting traditions where you live, tell us. Write and we'd like to hear about it. We'd be interested to hear about your traditions in your countries and in your families. Remember, if you need help with a question about grammar, vocabulary, pronunciation, or anything related to English, send us an email to craig@inglespodcast.com or belfastreza@gmail.com. And of course, you can also leave us a voice message on the website at inglespodcast.com. Don't miss a podcast episode. Why not subscribe to our email newsletter? To subscribe is suscribirse, and you can subscribe at inglespodcast.com. just leave your name and your email address and we will send you a monthly email of all our podcasts. Every month we will tell you what podcasts we have made for you. Reza and I will see you in 2015. So until then, it's goodbye from me
and it's goodbye from him.
And Merry Christmas.